Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Just bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie will connect you with local pros who match your specific needs. Or book a service instantly at an upfront price. So join the millions of homeowners who use Angie to care for their homes and get your next home service job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
The following podcast contains dramatizations of actual events. Certain situations, dialogue, names, and locations may have been changed. Some scenes are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Up next, a single mother doesn't survive a life and death struggle.
It was blood everywhere. I mean, all over the living room, the walls, the back door.
She fought for her life. Probably the longest fight to death that I ever investigated.
No one can believe this woman would be a target for murder.
I was immediately taken into a detective's car. And he asked me, do I know of anybody that would have wanted to harm Nikki? And I'm like, harm Nikki?
Evidence shows the killer is uncomfortably close to home.
We'd get into physical altercations all the time. I'm almost getting a little teary-eyed now about it because I knew.
Nikki Whitehead's life was full of obstacles from the moment she was born.
Nikki was born in prison. You know, she was the oldest of five siblings.
Unlike her brothers and sisters, Nikki was not raised by her mother. Her mother was behind bars for most of Nikki's childhood.
She wasn't in the same household as her siblings. What she didn't know, and I even said, like, oh my goodness, Nikki, you didn't know you was born in prison. So that's how you was in the custody of your grandmother.
This made for some rocky times during Nikki's teenage years, but she was determined to have some stability in her life. She graduated from cosmetology school and opened her own hairstyling business in an Atlanta suburb.
She made good money. She was good at doing hair. She quickly built a clientele.
As she was building her business, Nikki had a brief affair with a Jamaican national, and in 1993, gave birth to identical twin daughters, Jazmaya and Tazmaya, who became known to everyone as Jazz and Taz.
Jazz and Taz, they were well-behaved kids. They were straight-A students. I can remember one of the girls receiving, like, the highest achievement award in her grade at that time.
Sadly, the twins' father left the family, but Nikki did her best to be a devoted single mother.
Nikki really wanted to get things straight, have a good family. She's had her own business going, and things were headed in the right direction.
In 2000, Nikki, 24 years old at the time, started a relationship with a man named Robert Head, who was 30 years older. She and the twins ultimately moved in with him.
Robert first met her at a mall, saw her at a mall, and just fell in love with her at first sight. He loved the way she looked and everything. And Nikki, at that point in her life, kind of needed somebody.
On a January afternoon in 2010, a local police officer doing routine rounds in the area was flagged down by the twins.
They came home from school like they normally do. They walked in the house. They see the crime scene. They just go to pieces, come running out of the house screaming, call 911.
Inside, police found a scene of incredible violence.
We entered the house. There's immediate stench of coppery blood smell, almost that you can taste. It's so thick in the air. There's blood on every wall in the living room, dining room. It's just a chaotic scene.
It was immediately clear that a hard-fought struggle had taken place all through the first floor of the house.
I've been policing quite a long time. I've seen a lot of bloody scenes. This was probably one of the worst I'd seen.
Nikki Whitehead was found in the bathtub, apparently stabbed to death and placed there after she was killed. A blood trail gave investigators a pretty good idea of what happened.
At one point, Nikki had her back against the wall and her hair was braided. You can see the blood pattern, the braid and the blood pattern up against the wall. You can see different intervals of the fight as the blood smeared.
The blood trail showed Nikki made it out of the house, but only briefly.
We canvassed the neighborhood, and when detectives went up to the house next door, as they approached the house, they saw a bloody handprint on the column of the porch and interviewed that neighbor. He had been on a landing bed listening to a morning show on the radio, so we were able to kind of pinpoint the time frame about the show that he was listening to.
He had said somebody's banging on his door. Young called the police, and we asked him why didn't he. He said it was none of his business.
Nikki's killer somehow got her back inside the house. Her autopsy showed scores of defensive wounds. She'd been stabbed more than 80 times.
When I found out that Nikki fought back and she fought for her life, I had to bury her. Therefore, you know, thinking that I was going to be able to bury her. It did something for me to know that, you know, she just didn't give up.
There was no sign of forced entry, and the only thing apparently missing from the house was the murder weapon. In the aftermath of Nikki Whitehead's murder, her 16-year-old daughters, identical twin sisters Jazz and Taz Whitehead, were interviewed by detectives. Naturally, the girls were in shock after finding their mother's body. After a while, investigators were finally able to ask the twins the key question. Did they have any idea who would want to kill their mother?
Does your mom have any other friends or anybody else that come over that you know of?
She talked to some men.
This possibility made a lot of sense to detectives. The evidence at the scene of the murder indicated Nikki endured a brutal attack.
The stabber was just stabbing repeatedly in one area, would indicate that this is a crime of passion.
The key man in Nikki's life was Robert Head, her boyfriend and owner of the house where the family lived, the house where the murder took place.
Robert, being her live-in boyfriend, of course we wanted to speak to him and find out where he was or what was going on. Come to find out later on, pretty quickly, that Nikki and Robert kind of had an understanding in their relationship.
That understanding was that both partners were free to see other people.
Robert was smart enough. He knew that Nikki was young, much younger, and that she was still wanting to go out and do stuff that young people do, go to clubs and that sort of stuff. He wasn't interested in it.
Robert, a long-haul truck driver, was away from home for days at a time.
He didn't really care what she did when he was gone. He just wanted her there. Just when he was home, he wanted her there, and she obliged that.
GPS satellites were able to track down Robert's whereabouts for the time of the murder.
We got in touch with his trucking company, and they had GPS on their trucks, and we were able to follow the route and use his phone to give us times of where he was. And he was out west and had not come back since he had left. So we had cleared Robert as being suspect.
But the twins said there was a new man in the picture, and they didn't know that much about him. His name was Joe Carter.
I've talked to some men, but the only one I've been hearing her talk to lately is Joe. And that's what I keep telling everybody about.
It was possible Joe, the new man in Nikki's life, wasn't as open-minded about the open relationship she had with Robert Head.
When I asked Jazz and Taz who they thought could have done this, they mentioned that Nikki and Joe had been arguing over on the phone the last few nights, and that maybe he was had something to do with it.
Because they were arguing last night.
Okay. What do you know about Joe?
Nothing. I've never seen him.
When you hear a love triangle, your antenna goes up because somebody in that triangle more likely is not going to be happy. And a lot of times it goes back to one of them.
Joe Carter, a local barber, was located and told what happened to Nikki.
Joe was devastated when we approached him and notified him of Nikki's death.
And he also had a solid alibi for the time of the murder. His barbershop had surveillance cameras and showed he couldn't be Nikki's killer. Investigators were running out of suspects in a case that clearly showed a prior relationship between killer and victim.
Angie has made it easier than ever to hire high-quality pros to get all your home service jobs done well. Whether it's routine maintenance, an emergency repair, or a dream project, Angie lets you compare quotes from multiple local pros, browse homeowner reviews, and even book a service instantly. Angie's been connecting people with skilled pros for nearly 30 years. So the next time you have a home project, bring it to Angie to get your job done well. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Nikki Whitehead's twin daughters, Jazz and Taz, told detectives nothing was amiss when they left the house the morning of their mother's murder.
They told me that they woke up that morning late and was getting ready for school, missed the bus, knocked on their mother's door, which was shut, and she didn't answer. So they just left for school and walked to school. It's probably about 3 or 4 miles.
Detectives checked surveillance cameras along this route.
We pulled video from surrounding businesses, and we saw that they were several hours late for school, walking to school. We even got the video from the school when they came in. They're supposed to be at school around 7, 7:30 in the morning. They didn't get to school till about 10 a.m.
This video didn't line up with the twins' stories that they'd walked straight to school. But why would they lie? Detectives could reach only one, admittedly tentative, possibility. And it was unthinkable. Could two 16-year-olds have conspired to kill their own mother and then do it with such incredible violence?
I can tell you from my experience, it is rare, very rare. And then to have twins, no less, makes it even tougher. To get two people to agree to that is tough to do.
It turned out the twins weren't unknown to police.
Our police department had been to the house on several occasions. Where the Nikki and the twins were having confrontation.
And at least one of those confrontations got physical.
Nikki contacted the authorities, and the police, of course, got involved. The girls were charged with simple battery. It was for them to get counseling, everyone to get counseling from individual to group counseling.
Local detectives now look back over all their interactions with the twins in the frantic hours after they reported their mother had been killed.
It's just pretty chaotic. First thing that struck me as different was in the back of the ambulance, I think it was Taz was biting her wrist, and we confronted her, and what are you doing? And she told us that she did that when she was emotionally distraught.
At the time, amid all this trauma, this seemed within the bounds of reasonable behavior. But now, With all other potential suspects eliminated, could this have been part of an attempt to cover up involvement in a murder?
Being in a room with Jazz and Taz during the interview, was it anything they were saying or doing? It just felt like I was in the presence of evil. I've never had that feeling before with people. I've been in rooms of murderers before, but this just felt evil.
The question now was, what possible reason would the twins have to kill their own mother?
You've got two very angry girls who don't want to live with their mother for whatever reason, you know. She was scared of them. I mean, she openly admitted that she was scared of them.
Nikki wanted them to behave and do good and have a good life. They just wanted to be rebellious and do their own thing, which is most kids, but most kids don't stab their mom 80 times.
With the twins as possible suspects in a crime with this much violence, they were photographed on the assumption that they could have been injured during the commission of the murder. And what this showed cast serious doubt on what the twins were telling police.
And once I saw those marks, I knew they weren't telling the truth about what had happened.
If detectives' suspicions were correct, that meant this interview with the twins shortly after the murder was a well-planned performance designed to throw them off the trail.
Sorry.
You definitely don't want to believe it's possible. You never know who's really capable of murder.
In the immediate aftermath of her mother's murder, Taz Whitehead was seen biting her wrist in full view of first responders.
Taz Maya Whitehead. She said, this is something I do when I get nervous or I get upset. You know, like the children cut themselves. She bites herself.
But a bite mark on Taz's left arm didn't appear to be self-inflicted. Was it possible that Taz's mother had bitten her in self-defense while fighting for her life, and that Taz later bit herself in front of police so that she'd have a plausible reason for this bite mark on her arm?
It looked like when Taz was biting her arm, she knew she had marks from her mom or Nikki had bit her in defense. You know, she was trying to cover that up.
Was it possible to prove this? The possibility presented huge problems. Bite mark evidence is highly controversial. These days, no prosecutor will go to a jury with only a supposed bite mark match as evidence. But in this case, investigators weren't looking for a bite mark match. All they needed to prove was whether the bite on Taz's arm was the result of Taz biting herself or the result of her being bitten by someone else.
The difference is in everybody's bite is enough that you're not really going to have exact matches. People's mouths are wider. They've got teeth that are intruded. They've got spaces in between the teeth. Lots of these different kinds of things.
For comparison, a flexible impression material is placed in the suspect's mouth. Once removed, it is filled with plaster, which later hardens. This was done with both twins and also done post-mortem on their mother, Nikki.
The material sets up, at which point in time we pull it out, and now we have a mold of their teeth.
The bite on Taz's arm was shallow, with a minimal puncture of skin. This lack of tearing on the skin surface made for an unusually clear pattern. And in this case, investigators got a surprise break. Nikki Whitehead had a common dental condition called diastema, basically a gap between the front teeth. So while it was impossible to say that Nikki Whitehead inflicted the bite on her daughter's arm, it was possible to say that someone with diastema did. And neither of the Whitehead twins had this condition.
Ruled two girls out as the biters and narrowed it down to being Nikki to be the biter.
But investigators knew there was no way this evidence would be enough to secure a conviction. However, a bite mark like this could possibly have led to a killer shedding blood at the crime scene. Of course, the twins lived in the house, so their blood might be in various places. The question now was where investigators might find blood.
In the twins' closet, we found shoes in a shoebox with a blood drip on it. In the side of one of the shoes, and actually we found two pairs of shoes with the blood marks on them. Inside one of those shoes was a wadded up napkin that had blood on it, and inside it was a wad of hair, like it had been pulled from someone's hair.
This hair was consistent with Nikki Whitehead's hair, and the blood belonged to one of the twins. Since twins' DNA is identical, the blood could have been left by either of them, and both of them had cuts on their arms. After a four-month investigation, the evidence was clear, and the conclusion inescapable. The Whitehead twins had murdered their mother. But why did they do it? The answer, incredibly, is that Nikki simply wanted to impose some discipline on the twins, and they weren't having it.
Jazz and Taz wanted the freedom to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to come and go as they please. They wanted to be able to go out and stay out. They wanted to date older boys.
I think they did what they did and didn't realize there was consequences to their actions until they got caught. I can only just remember the last thing Nikki said to me, and she felt like it was an evil spirit that overcame them.
Prosecutors believe the twins had been planning the murder for some time. They think the attack started as Nikki was asleep on the couch. She was hit over the head with a vase, which started the blood trail. A terrific fight ensued all through the first floor of the house. At some point, it appears Nikki bit Taz in self-defense, a bite that no amount of self-biting after the fact could ultimately hide. And the blood evidence finally sealed the twins' fates.
Jazz and Taz did every single thing together. They had the same rage, the same hate. They just fed off each other. And that frenzy of hate resulted in this tragic ending. I don't think they could stop themselves.
In 2014, Jazmiah and Tazmiah Whitehead pleaded guilty to voluntary manslaughter and was sentenced to 30 years behind bars. They won't be eligible for parole until they're 47 years old. It's impossible to say for sure, but investigators believe this might be the only case, at least in the modern era, where identical twins conspired in the murder of their own parent.
That's got to be one in a million. The girls thought they were smarter than everybody in the room all the time. And I think that they can be incredibly charming, and I think that works at times. But when you get a room full of detectives who know exactly what's going on, you just have to put the pieces together. We're not buying it. You're not going to charm a detective.